This netcast is brought to you by the 8 Days of Geek Network.
All of your ears are belong to us.
Hey, and welcome to All the Rage TV edition. We're certainly excited to be here. I know Brandon's excited to be here. Brandon C. Williams.
C's for canceled.
Oh, no. We'll talk about what's been canceled in a minute. I am Jason J. Hughes. We are coming at you monthly with this thing. Jansen?
Janceled.
Oh, yeah, that's it. We'll talk about what's janceled in a minute. You're rushing ahead. This is, as I said, All the Rage TV edition. It's part of the All the Rage family of podcasts, which is part of the larger 8 Days of Geek podcast family. You'll find us here once a month talking pretty much geek TV, which Brandon and I follow pretty faithfully because, well, we're geeks. And this is an exciting week for me because if you remember last month, a long time ago, Brandon might not want to remember, but we made this Grammy bet. We made our picks for the Grammys. Since we don't have a music podcast, we did it here. And how'd that turn out?
The one thing I did wrong, which was, and I even, if we go back and listen, I even said what I'm doing stupid was putting so much onto Mumford & Sons when I know it should go under Adele. And if I would have went with what I originally said, I would have won. But I ended up losing because really, honestly, the only thing that you got on me was Song of the Year. I mean, you got one and I got one, so
Chris Brown too.
Well, I knew that Best New Artist was going to be Bon Iver.
Right. But yeah, that's just, I don't know, something fun. I don't even remember what what the terms of that were.
You get to pick a phrase for me to say, and then I will say it, and say it at the end of it.
Soundbite.
And then Jesse will cut it out and let us use it as a soundbite. That'd be fun.
All right, well, I'm gonna pick the phrase for next month. I'll make you say it next month.
That works.
So we'll just string this thing on as long as we can. But in the meantime,
maybe we can make another bet in between them and then stretch it out even longer.
We'll make a bet about what the phrase should be, based on something else.
Exactly.
And we'll make it like, should I pick the phrase? You get to pick the phrase. And yeah, we'll get stupid. But speaking of stupid, Brandon, just before we started recording, told me a headline that he read. What was the headline?
All right, so it was actually on Saturday, and I hadn't quite read it. I didn't read it because I didn't see the episode yet, so I didn't bother with it. But the headline read, Lindsay Lohan's SNL, best host of the season?
I have a question mark at the end.
Yeah.
Now, I guess all of the importance of that statement was in that question mark, because it allows you to answer with a resounding hell no.
No. What a horrible episode.
Oh, my God. It was – a lot of people that I've seen talked about it said that she was relegated to a supporting player. I mean, she basically was almost as bad as, like, Jay Farrow in most sketches, to where you're just in the background, people – occasionally notice you. The sketch that she was most up front on.
Not
was,
saying Jay Farrow is bad.
No,
he's saying that he doesn't get, you know, right, he doesn't get front players.
He does every once in a while, but a lot of times he'll be the bartender or the guy in the background. It's what happens when you're a featured player. You tend to be background noise. Abby Elliott is probably a better example of someone who does background noise mostly, because she doesn't have anything. And that's what they did with Lindsay Lohan. As a host, they're usually up front and center on almost every sketch. And it's like the best sketches that she was a part of were like ensemble sketches, like The Real Housewives of Walt Disney or Disney, whatever.
And I thought that wasn't even funny. And like that was the one getting passed around.
That was probably the best sketch of the night.
Yeah. And that wasn't even funny. But so, I don't know.
I thought it was funny, but I tortured the Real Housewives all the time.
Yeah, I thought that the SNL the short. Oh my God, what a horrible short!
Oh, that should be the last short ever. They should just cancel it. They haven't been doing them very often. I I'm pretty sure Sandberg's writing partners that were doing those with him, the whole reason he got the job, left the show this season, which is why he hasn't been doing them. And by himself, he clearly can't do it because that was god-awful.
And we had seen some funny ones this season, but that was just bad and stupid and pointless, and it was a waste of time. I mean, it was this episode of SNL makes you want to not even defend it. You know, all those people are like, oh, SNL sucks now. Yeah. And you defend it. You're like, no, it really doesn't. You know, this, and this is good. This episode made you want to makes you want to go, okay, yeah, maybe it's not great.
The only thing that could have made it a more perfect example of how SNL is just over would have been for this to be where Lana Del Rey performed.
Oh, yeah. Well, even Jack White, as brilliant as Jack White is, what the hell was he doing? It was not good.
It was better than anything else on there.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, that's not saying much. No. What's funny to me is two commercials.
Yeah, I was just going to mention that. In a show where this is supposed to be Lindsay Lohan's big comeback, they apparently so much could not come up with material that she could do or her lawyers approved, because that was probably part of the problem with her lawyers had to approve every sketch, and God knows lawyers are hilarious. But they repeated two commercials from earlier in the season, both of which I think had already been repeated once before.
And one of them is one of the better commercials, but I mean, still.
And then they did the weird, like, with the guy sitting in front of the fire talking about the 8-CD set of music. For some reason, that was like two short little bumpers, and they put it back to back. That was weird.
That was funny, though.
That was funny, but that should have been spaced throughout the show. I don't know why they
were
back to back.
To me, for some reason, that was like at Jason Sudeikis. They were like, "Oh, we need something," and Jason Sudeikis is like, "Get me a fireplace. I got a skit." Because I mean, it seemed like nobody was ready for it, and like because when he did the little thing where he kept staring at the fire.
Right.
And it stared at it for a while. It was so awkward and strange that made it really funny, actually. But it was like, that seemed not planned. I don't know. Altogether, right. That was probably one of the best skits of the night. The
probably.
News
I just thought that
well.
The framing of it was odd that they didn't space them better.
Yowee, that's hot. Yeah. I mean, that was just, it was stupid. But
and then probably the worst example of how Lindsay Lohan just wasn't working came in the Macintosh sketch. Yeah, that was so painfully awkward.
Oh, boy.
And, you know, Macintosh, from what I read of people, they either like him or they don't. I mean, you know he's going to come in there, and he's going to make up movie plots, and the guys are going to break character and laugh. And the funniest moments came at the end when they all just lost it.
When Sudeikis slammed himself onto the desk as hard as he could.
And I don't know why, but I have a feeling when he was – nobody planned in advance that when asked – I don't know if he was supposed to ask how old they were – or not, but I'm pretty sure the answers of their real ages.
Yeah, that
was not expected.
We should start charging you guys as real criminals, huh?
But everything with Lohan, I mean, the way she was so awkwardly reading the teleprompter reminded me of when sports athletes host.
Yeah, and
there's not a hint of acting ability there, and it's just they're reading the prompter and they're there because they're a sports person or whatever. But she's supposed to be an actress.
Oh, yeah. Rude Buddha was a new sketch that we were introduced to, which I didn't like too much, honestly. I mean, it just didn't work for some reason.
No,
I get what they were trying to do, and it's kind of funny. But
it wasn't even really rude, because it was all behind their back. And that's not what rude is. I mean, Rude Buddha I get for the rhyme, but he was Snarky Buddha.
Yeah.
Because Rude Buddha would have been rude to their faces. And he wasn't.
Yeah, true.
But he did give the Facts of Life theme song as advice, and so props for that. Because there's a lot of wisdom in those words.
That's true.
You know, if you take the good, you take the bad. You take them both. There you have the Facts of Life.
Well, let me tell you something. There was no good in that at all. So it's like that entire episode, every time I'm like, okay, well, you know, there was this, and I just can't think of anything that there was.
And it's really disappointing because, you know, Lindsay Lohan is trying to get her crap together. I don't know if she'll succeed or not, but if she's trying to get people to take her seriously as an actress and say, I can do this again, one, she shouldn't have put the collagen on her lips because it looked freakish, and two, this is not going to do it because this was an embarrassment. If I was a casting director and I'm like, hey, I'm going to do a movie or I'm going to do a TV show, I want a guest actress, and you saw that, you're like, wow, that chick isn't ready for anything.
Yeah.
It wasn't
and
pretty.
For people who aren't familiar with her, this was her first thing that was, you know, I mean, The problem is the TV shows that she's have done, or what she has done in the past as far as movies go, have been mostly child fare, except for like Mean Girls. I mean, there's very little.
Even Mean Girls was teenager.
Yeah, it's a very young audience that she's, you know, been pushed at. And then this is her, you know, other than that, the only thing my mom knows about her, you know, is a good example, is she's some drunk drug addict.
Right. Oh, that's all anyone knows.
Steals stuff, yeah. So, you know.
But plenty of actors and actresses have come back from that, becoming
that.
Yeah,
and then she's like, oh, she's posing nude in Playboy, and it's like, okay. And then, oh, we're going to do SNL. I'm like, well, she's trying to get her name out there. But, I mean.
But this was just a bad turn. If there was a way halfway through the week for them to say, you know what, forget it, we'll go with someone else.
Yeah, if she looks like crap in Playboy, then.
And in fact, John Hamm was there, and honestly, he should have stepped up.
Yeah, the whole background host thing was funny because it was like, yeah, maybe we should have got him. Yes. Like, oh, that's our backup host.
And that's the funny thing is they introduce him and then he's there and it's like three or four sketches in. You're like, it's time to call in the reserve.
Yeah. John Hamm's funny.
John Hamm is great on that show.
Can we get John Hamm?
And then he shows up in a sketch and it's just like, oh, there he is. And he's funny and he's charming. What could have been?
Yep.
Speaking of bad, Simpsons 500th episode was a royal stinker. You didn't even finish it, did you?
No. Simpsons have been something that, I don't know. Simpsons is kind of like Weird Al. Like, you know, some people can grow up and be adults and like Weird Al and enjoy it. I'm one of those guys, you know. I enjoy Weird Al. But a lot of people, they listen to a new Weird Al album and they're like, this is horrible. The Weird Al album that came out, you know, when I was 12 was the best. And that's kind of the way people are, you know. You either still like Weird Al or you fell off at some point. The Simpsons is the same way. I don't like original Simpsons. I liked The Simpsons when I was 12. And then I don't like Simpsons now. So, I mean, it's just like, and I hate being the guy with that argument, but that's how I feel about it. I haven't cared about The Simpsons in a long time, and I wanted to give them respect.
Maybe that's their thing. Maybe that's their target audience, and, you know, as long as there's new people coming into that age range, they're going to love them.
I mean, I know people that are adults that have, you know, read it. Watched it for years and they absolutely love it, but yeah.
But one thing that, you know, I could actually still every week probably sit down and watch the couch gag.
Oh yeah, the Banksy one a while back, you know, was edgy and different, and it was like that was worth watching. And then they just recently did a new one, which honestly was just as good as the Banksy one.
Yeah, the Game of Thrones intro.
Oh yeah.
Which anybody who's seen Game of Thrones, it's a weird intro, the way the buildings kind of ratchet up like old clockwork toys, but it's very compelling and interesting, and Simpsons did that with Springfield, but with their, you know, bits of humor and everything else. But they did a great job with it. They had the sweeping music, and it was really well animated. I mean, that's not the easiest thing to make look good. And I love your wife's comment, to be honest with you, was my favorite.
Yeah. My wife's hasn't watched any of Game of Thrones. She's like, is that really the intro? And Jay's like, yeah. And she's like, the buildings come back out of the ground? And he's like, yeah. She goes, and there's like knights? He's like, yeah. And she goes, and they're in a hammock? And he's like, no. No. No.
It's like, not quite that literal. But yeah, I mean, I like it's funny to me, though, because The Simpsons, when you watch it, they've done a little better this season, but it's been so stale. It's almost as if there's an entirely different team of people who come up with the couch gag sequence.
The Simpsons is all about merchandise now, it seems, and they're just
another Garfield of television.
Yeah. If you watch Breaking Bad, or not Breaking Bad, what the hell is my problem? Raising Hope, not even close to that.
Anyway, Raising Hope, they should start selling meth.
Yeah, did you watch Raising Hope?
Probably, yeah.
When they're in the park and he finds the Simpsons chess set, he's like, Simpsons chess set. He goes, I bet these are viable.
Yeah,
you don't see Simpsons merchandise very often. That was hilarious because it's like, yes, you do. That's all you see.
Speaking of merchandising, one of the biggest merchandising bonanzas, I would say, of your youth specifically, you're a little younger than me, and part of mine was Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yep.
And it looks like we're about to probably get another Blitz. I'd be interested to see if the because they've rebooted it on TV twice now, right?
This
is the second reboot or the third?
Okay, for the first original series went for quite a while, and then a live-action series came out in 2001, I believe, which actually was fairly successful and not bad at all, actually.
Well, the live-action movies were good.
Yeah, and then they did the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. The newest series came out, and it was animated, and it followed a new storyline. Like, it used the same characters, but it changed the storyline. Like, and they had already introduced with the TV movie as it's another reality. And there's three realities, basically. There's classic Ninja Turtles reality, which is what we associate the movies and the original series with. There's the new reality, which was that new animated series, and the animated movie, which was actually pretty good.
That was also pretty good, yeah.
And then the other reality is black and white Frank Miller reality.
Which is the original comics.
The original comics. So, yeah.
But now they have this new thing. So is this a new reality, or is it one of those?
A third reality, it looks like. I mean, because I can't see it being associated with anything just because of the atrocious April.
Well, yeah, the new designs came out, and it's
the turtles
it's going,
look. Oh, I mean, the turtles look cartoony.
They're
and
a little
I can
too
get, I can
cute
be okay
for,
with.
They're a little too cute for me personally.
Yeah, and I can be okay with the turtles looking, you know, whatever, just because. But there's no excuse for a young, spunky, pigtailed April O'Neil.
Yeah, this girl, other than the fact that, well, no, pretty much this girl looks 14.
Oh, yeah.
Between 12 and 14, instead of being a young adult.
You know, she was a female character that actually fought back and
yeah, she was supposed to be
tough.
A badass. And they've even got her standing here like, oh, I'm shy and awkward. And that's like supposed to be her big shot.
So, that's horrible. And then Splinter, you know, I've always liked the old wise master, you know, bent over using a cane. I've always liked that Splinter idea. This Splinter is tall, statuesque, and very angular. I mean, he looks like he could fight alongside the turtles the entire time, not have any problems, which kind of defeats the purpose of the turtles being his pupils and being young and brash, but whatever. You know, I don't know. This might be a great new show.
Might be, but and they may tweak these
Spider-Man,
designs.
Yeah. You got Ultimate Spider-Man coming out soon. I mean, there's going to be
a lot
of...
The DC, they just launched their DC Nation Hour, which has fun shorts and then Young Justice and...
Young Justice was, you know, that's a different setup, and that was great.
I'm forgetting the show that it's paired with. Green Lantern, the new Green Lantern.
Green Lantern.
Yeah. Yeah, it hasn't done new episodes yet if you caught the premiere. And then Marvel's launching Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes in a block with the new Ultimate Spider-Man.
Yeah.
So both DC and Marvel have their
and
universes
of course,
coming.
They have Superhero Squad, which I had just recently started watching because I want to get, you know, all that animation stuff down. And that is actually a fantastic show for young beginners of comic book series.
Yeah.
There's a lot in it. There's a lot.
I couldn't watch it past about two episodes, but I could see the appeal for younger viewers.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's a lot of saying, I want my kids to fall in love with Marvel Comics. Oh, my God.
And there's a lot of inside jokes on there.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, inside jokes like crazy.
It's like Tiny Titans is for little kids, but, you know, there's
luckily,
a lot of...
the series hasn't been going too long, so I'll get through the series pretty quick, and it'll be just one of those ones that I watch whenever I have, you know, I need to waste 30 minutes. Nothing important, but... I like it. But the changes they did to some of the characters all make sense and they're fun. And I mean, they're making Miss Marvel's like their main character. So,
gotta have a girl. You know. Yeah, girl power.
Exactly.
We're gonna shift gears to a little more adult fare. We're gonna talk about some cancellations, series pickups, things that are happening in the world of geek TV. Probably the biggest news for geeks. So I don't know if it's a big surprise. Was Terra Nova finally, I don't know if finally, but Terra Nova getting axed from Fox. Alcatraz.
Terra Nova going extinct.
Should we just let the crickets go? Man. Anyways, Terra Nova, yeah, they got canceled, which with Alcatraz only performing so-so now, the ratings have really dropped off. People are thinking this is a good sign for that show to get picked up because for whatever reason, apparently, Fox is only going to keep one or the other. I don't know what they're trying to figure out. Monday nights, basically. Terranova was on Mondays. House was on Mondays. That's going away after this season. And then Alcatraz has been on Mondays. So I guess they're thinking maybe this will help Alcatraz get a chance to come back.
With Alcatraz, they finally introduced, you know, another idea you know, with the blood and everything. And
right.
I thought that was like, oh, well, that's interesting. But so far, the show, even though I do enjoy it,
it's slow getting anywhere.
It's not delivering anything to me, you know? I'm like, I'm not getting anything out of this. I haven't yet to emotionally connect with any of the characters
at all.
I mean, and I love Jorge Garcia, so I automatically am going to emotionally connect with this guy because he's this fat, lovable guy who works at a comic shop. So that's me, you know? And it's like, you know, I want to love this guy, and then I just don't really care. And then with the villains, every time we meet them, I almost want a few to get away and continue the hunt for them. I hate that it's like,
oh yeah, they're all getting caught.
Got one next. And they're either getting caught or killed, and that's it. There's like one out there that's hidden, and that's her grandfather.
Right.
So it's kind of boring. But do you know what show is actually delivering on all fronts for me? The River.
I would say The River was starting to lose me until they got the cameraman.
Yeah.
And then this last week was something that it needed to do.
I'm getting Lost vibes out of this. Like, you know, it had a couple slow things here and there, but all those slow things were honestly just to get the characters out there.
Right, which they've done a good job of.
Yeah.
The interesting thing about it is they're saying that at the end of this first season, we'll have some kind of resolution for their current quest.
And the first season is Emmett Brown.
Yeah, which is like 10 episodes. So if it gets picked up, and the ratings are kind of in that middling range where we don't know, it's like, well, the quest for Emmett Brown is not the bigger story, so we really don't know what the bigger story is. Maybe whatever this is.
If they do find Emmett, they're not gonna stop looking for the magic because he's gonna say we have to find out what's going on.
Because
he believes that everyone that's died isn't dead.
Right.
So, I mean, he's going to want to find this way to bring them all back. So, I mean, there's a lot to it there. And this last episode...
Basically, I think the advice is I have a feeling that a lot of people gave up on the show after two or three or four episodes because I know I was about to, and I'm more patient than a lot of people about TV shows. So your advice for sure would be people to jump back in and give it a chance.
Oh, yeah, watch this last episode.
I would say, even if you skip everything else, watch this last episode and know that the shaggy-haired guy... was one of Emmett's old photographer or camera operators that they found stuck to a tree. So that's who he is. That's all you need to know. And then watch this, and it basically gives you Emmett's story.
The mother or the father dying just a few episodes ago.
For the other girl, yeah.
I mean, they're actually developing the characters pretty well. It's just it was a slow character development, but everyone's developed now. Everyone's got a story.
It's interesting that television has. And I guess because of the Lost model where we so loved the characters that we were patient with it.
But I like these characters. That's what's funny, too.
But it took a while because there were a whole bunch of them, and we didn't really know a lot about them. And it seems like television almost runs a little slower based on what I see from feedback and people reacting to the shows. And we're so now with our expectations, even more than we were when Lost began. It seems like it's really hard for these shows... for someone to have patience if they say, give it five episodes. They're like, well, I'm not going to give it five episodes. I'll give it two or one. You know, and it's like certain shows like this one, you need to kind of let them tell their story to get to this point where they'll grab you. Because I would say at this point, by this Late Now episode, probably two episodes ago, they really sunk their claws into where it's like, you're going to want to at least follow this through.
And honestly, like... I don't know. I know that when it comes to TVs and movies, you're kind of an emotionless, heartless bastard, and I'm a bleeding heart when it comes to it. So we're completely different on this. But I mean, it was an incredibly sad and powerful moment whenever he finally made the decision to kill the dog.
And then didn't.
Yeah, I mean, it was a fantastic scene. And I mean,
give all the props in the world to the actor playing Emmett Brown.
Bruce Greenwood, I think his name is.
I'm not sure. You can look it up while I'm blabbing if you want. But anyways.
It's Bruce Greenwood. Saying it like I wasn't sure because I don't want to act like I'm an expert, you know.
No, go ahead and do it if you have to. I do it too. Anyways, the fact is that throughout much of this episode, it was them sitting around watching the camera. And he pretty much had to carry that entire story through his acting.
Oh, yeah.
And he did a fantastic job.
Camera. Oh, yeah.
It's a performance that I guarantee you, because it's on this show, will not get recognized, but for that one scene alone, it was amazing. And just the way he told the story of a guy basically completely falling apart,
which
was
completely
believable.
It was just funny to me because earlier in it, whenever he first said, well, you know, I'm not going to have much food, so I'm going to have to find food, I'm like, you need to kill that dog and eat it. But that wasn't even an idea in his head. And you were like, oh, because you didn't realize how...
Oh, yeah, the viewing audience immediately knew, and they framed it in such a way that, yeah, that dog is an option.
Yeah.
He may not know it, but everyone at home was going, oh, there's some protein right there.
Yeah, and I mean, the idea, I mean, thinking about it, think about anybody who has a dog out there will agree. The situation of survival, you or the dog, what would you do? And that gets you. So anyway, spending a lot of time on the river, which, you know, right, isn't even in our news stories. But I think it needs to be saved. I think the geeks need to go out there and watch it, so.
And we're going to shift from the river over to The Walking Dead, which is probably something we're going to talk about every week that it's on the air. But even if we weren't, this week, this month, we have to talk about it.
Oh, yeah.
Because we're comic geeks. We've read the series. And so we kind of know. We know it's different.
Yes.
But we know these characters, and we kind of have some ideas of where they're going and what's going to happen.
And they basically stayed towards
pretty
this
close,
story.
Yeah.
I mean, they've veered a little bit here and there, just enough to make the story a little more interesting and keep some actors along longer. But, yeah, that was, first of all, not even close to expected.
No, that they actually completely stunned me with that one. To the point, and we're going to go ahead and, at this point, I'm going to say we're going to spoil it. So if you didn't watch it for whatever reason,
it's been a week.
Watch it too. We're going to spoil it. But to the point where the zombie was on top of Dale,
and you were still going, he's going to get.
They're going to get there just in time. They're going to figure something out, and then the zombie rips into his guts, and I'm like,
he's going to be up
tough
for a while, but you know, he's going to be fine. You know, he's just going to be.
Yeah, that's going to be quite. Boy, Herschel's got his work cut out for him.
Yeah. And then whenever they're like, there's no way he'll survive, I'm like, oh, Rick's going to make him take care of him. And then finally, it got all the way to the point where Daryl grabbed the gun, and I'm like, oh, shit.
Well, it's like, he's not really going to do that,
he's
though.
He's really dying.
Because,
oh, my God.
And I'm sitting there going, but Dale has to go through this, and Dale has to go through that.
And, I mean, honestly, in the comics, Dale is like a moral center, but he's not really that important. He's never really done anything. In the comics, moral center forever.
In the TV show, he's playing the same role. He's that moral center. And that's, I think, what really startled me the most about it was, more so even in the TV show, he's being the moral voice. Because no one else is agreeing with him. And in the comics, it wasn't black and white where it's everybody is saying, let's just become evil, and Dale saying, no, let's be good. But in the TV show, it's kind of that way. Everyone versus Dale. And it's like suddenly they take Dale away, and it's like, wow, where's it going to go now? What are they going to do?
This leaves – and interesting enough, this leaves Rick, of course, because Rick's going to have a change of mind because of what happened with Carl.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And Daryl to be the moral centers, because Daryl is going to feel responsible because of the whole this thing's we're broken. He's going to be the one who – and he honestly, even though he's kind of a bad guy, he is still one of the most moral of everybody there.
Oh, yeah. And Daryl's still the biggest enigma because he's the new character.
Yeah.
So when you remove Dale, which, again, is absolutely shocking. So kudos
and
to them.
Pretty powerful scene, too. I got to say that I got choked up, and I couldn't believe it. My wife cried when Dale died. She was actually incredibly sad because he's like – he's nobody's favorite character, but he's definitely like that uncle character that everyone did like.
Right.
And like the people that did hate him only hated him because they're like, man, he's causing trouble because he always wants things done the right way. And it's like, people can't be right anymore. And it's like, yeah, but you know, that's kind of his point.
So now you're sitting here going, Shane outlived Dale?
Yeah. And then like, you're like, is it going down the way it should? I mean, we can ruin it. It's not like anybody, you know, if you haven't read the comics, then will, you know, Carl actually kill Shane? I mean,
and that could still happen.
With Carl being a pussy about the zombie and not being able to, you know, pull the trigger and take it out, I can see Carl, you know.
Oh, yeah, because Carl recognized
that
zombie.
And
so I think there's going to be a huge fallout of guilt from Carl knowing that it's basically his fault.
Oh, yeah, because that zombie was stuck.
Yeah. And even if he didn't have the nerve to kill the zombie and he panicked and ran, he didn't say anything to anybody about it. So
yeah, all he had to do is say, I saw a zombie in the woods, and they would have been like, all right, let's go take care of it.
Right.
And it would never happen. Now, here's a question, though. This is when the episode does kind of fall apart a little bit. The hell was Daryl doing? Or what the hell was Dale doing? Where was he going? Just walking out to the middle of the field.
Yeah, I don't know.
And I don't know. It's
I don't
weird.
Know why he – I guess because it was a big field. But then
– And Becky and I, my
I'm
wife
sure.
and I.
Okay, here's the thing. He's walking out in the middle of the field, and it's like, well, that's fine. I guess he could do that because you would think –
He's angry.
Yeah, and you would think the tree line's way out there. The grass is only up to, what, his waist, his knees, shin, whatever.
In parts. Some of it's just pasture.
Yeah, you know. So even though it's dark, the moonlight is light enough. He should be able to see. And hear because it's noisy. How'd the zombie come up behind him?
Well, he was pretty angry, but this is
something
that...
I mean, I guess even
that...
at this point, he was distracted by the cow, but it's like maybe he stood there and looked at this cow for, I don't know, 10 minutes, and we didn't see it.
Yeah, I don't know. But, okay. We know in the comics, because at one time, I believe a deer got bit, and they let it die, and they were waiting for it to see if it would reanimate. Mm-hmm. And they watched it the entire time to see if it would actually become a zombie, and it didn't affect the deer. The deer just died.
Right.
So we know that animals can't be affected with it, but not sure.
And that
with
scene
this
was
cow,
weird for me with the same thing, because I'm looking at the cow and it's
you're like, is it alive?
Yeah, like
zombie,
or
is
it
just gurgling,
suffering?
Dying?
Yeah,
yeah. So I couldn't tell.
I think it was the latter, but yeah, it was not clear at all.
Yeah. So
until I think when the zombie attacked, and I'm like, oh, okay, the zombie was just munching on that cow.
Yeah. I mean, and killing Dale off, killing Dale off means to me is that Tyrese doesn't need to die immediately. And that's a good thing.
True. But they could still stand to find something to do with T-Dog.
I don't know. Every time I see T-Dog, I'm like, that guy is dead. He is dying.
But,
he's
but
going
why not?
To die.
But why is he still not dead?
I don't know. It's like, and he's
and they,
not.
And they have nothing. He's like, isn't he the only person who's a part of the original band that has nothing ever to do and has no lines ever?
Oh,
except
yeah.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to go. All right.
Well, and emotionally, you could care less about his death. The only character in the show that has less to do with anything is Herschel on Herschel's party. And
the little
like,
girl
that's
in the bed?
Well, no, the son who just does the grunt work, and then Otis's wife, who just kind of stands there and gets emotional constantly.
Right.
That's her job, is to get emotional about things. So, last episode was fantastic. Anyway, not even just the Dale scene, but the Glenn and Herschel scene when he gives him the watch. That was really good. And
I thought the whole actually, debate over what to do with the kid was really solid. I actually like this.
Randall.
I like Randall. I like that character. I don't know that he'll stick around. Doesn't seem likely.
Yeah, and the thing about Randall is he's like young and he's trying to be a grown up and trying to say things. So you can't tell if he's actually evil or not. And like when he's talking to Carl, he's like, "Hey, you know, that's a cool hat." It's like, was he actually trying to be evil and
or
escape
is that just
or
desperation trying to?
Yeah,
escape?
You know, you can't.
It's a good character the way they've written it, the way he's playing it, because yeah, you don't know.
Yeah,
he could honestly be completely accurate saying, yeah, we wound up with these guys, and they were way worse than we thought, and I didn't know what to do. And it's like, of course, if you're in that situation, you play along, because there's more of them, and they're dangerous.
Those guys, which is funny to me, because what a fun cameo is to be like a survivor that gets killed, episode one. And that was, you know, from Terriers and True Blood, that guy, I can't think of his name. And then the other guy was Brad Henke. I know, it's sad I know that guy's name. And that guy was actually on Lost. He played a thug on Lost a lot. And he's in a lot of TV shows, the guy who played the fat guy.
And then this kid's from Rescue Me.
Yeah, and this Randall. Kid's from Rescue Me. Yeah, yeah. So it's like, you know, these are – it's kind of funny where they're getting actors from. They're getting actors from pretty prolific shows that are like, oh, yeah, I'd love to join that show. And then the zombies, like – I mean, it was on the webisode, but one of the zombies was Scott Ian from Anthrax, and in episode one, in the tank, that was Sam Witwer as a zombie.
Yeah.
Who was, you know, from Being Human.
But so many people would love to be, oh, I'll be a zombie, or I'll die.
Oh, yeah. And the designer of the show has actually been a zombie. on the show. He because he's a really good makeup artist, and he's like, oh, I want to be him. And he got an action figure made of his zombie, and so, but yeah, it's the show's fantastic. Again, it's another one of the shows out there that you need to watch if you're not watching it. I mean, if you like zombies at all, watch it.
And if you're like me, luckily, you'll be able to watch this current season without that long break, because honestly, I did think it was a little slow in the first half of this season, but they've really started, even though they're still on the farm, they've really started picking things up on an emotional level
as far as the
stakes of what's going on. And the threat of other people, which I think is something the show needed. It needed this sense of pending danger. Those guys are out there. And you know, obviously the reality is there's probably a whole bunch of dangerous people out there. And anyone who's read the comics knows, sure there are.
Oh, yeah, and anybody 30, who's been following 30 casting men, knows, by the way?
Yeah. And we don't know if this group could be where the governor shows up. Because we don't know if they're going to maybe switch up how they do all that.
Yeah.
So, and we know the governor's been cast. It's David Morrissey, which is interesting. So that'll be next season.
Physically, he doesn't really match the governor whatsoever, but
no,
he does play a menacing character. We've seen him in some other shows.
But they should have gone with the valet that we just saw on Happy Endings.
So the guy who played the valet in the original one?
Yeah, the guy who played the original valet in Ferris Bueller. See, when I see governor, I was like, oh my god, that's the governor.
When I see governor, I always think of the Teabag from Prison Break.
Oh well, yeah. Nobody plays Slimy better than him.
Yeah, I mean, he even looks like the guy. It's like,
yeah. Oh, it's a shame he's not anywhere. But actually, we are reaching the end of this thing, so let's go look at our list of topics. See how we did. Brandon has a topic on here we didn't talk about. We didn't talk about Misfits or Primeval. The big thing about Misfits is it's getting a U.S. makeover, which I think is. Nope. Used to be you could say, oh, that's not going to work, but I thought they did a pretty good job with being human.
If we go with current ones, let's say we got Skins, what would you say about the U.S. makeover was a failure, right?
Yeah, and it was pretty terrible.
Okay,
but they tried
Shameless.
To keep it too close. Shameless makeover is really good.
Okay, yeah, you got Bill Macy on there. That was great. What else you got?
Being Human.
Being Human, fantastic makeover.
Which is really good. I don't know. Drawing a blank.
I can't think of any others right now either.
I know there's a few others in the works, but those are the big ones right now.
Yeah, yeah.
And especially because Shameless and Being Human are being run simultaneously. I mean, they're both still going in the UK.
And I love Misfits, by the way. I mean, Misfits was freaking
And Misfits
amazing.
Has been on Hulu, so people here have been able to see it. But they're still going to go ahead and remake it, which I have to think, unless they go HBO or Showtime with it, which I doubt they will because of the premise, it's going to be much more toned down. And it's being written by the guy who behind Gossip Girl, which don't know, that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be snarky, you know, stupid stuff like that. But it's certainly interesting. And what I found interesting was I just found out Primeval, which is another UK series, which has run longer than I expected over there, had announced a Canadian spinoff, which is instead of a remake, it's actually going to be related to the other one. But they've already finished shooting 13 episodes. They're done. They did it all, like, on the sly. It's amazing to me, because if you think about it, in America, you can't get away with doing anything like that.
Now with set photos and everything.
No, go up to Canada. You can get away with filming an entire TV series, and Canadian media doesn't cover it, and American media doesn't care. And they did. They finished shooting it. They've got stars from Eureka, and one of the stars from Eureka, and one of the stars from The Vampire Diaries, who's dead now. The Rika star is not dead. I think it's the Shane, or I don't remember the guy's name.
Dead on The Vampire Diaries, not dead in real life.
No, she died on The Vampire Diaries, which opened her up, and then Eureka's been canceled, which opened him up.
Which him? Shane?
I think it's Shane.
The boyfriend? The young guy?
The bad boy boyfriend?
Yeah, okay, yeah. It's Zane or Shane.
Zane,
yeah.
I was drawing a blank on it. But yeah, him and then the girl who played Elena's aunt who just died Vampire Diaries. So those two apparently are in the cast, which...
I'm not a 12-year-old girl, so I don't follow Vampire Diaries very closely.
Yeah, you know what? It's better than that, though. It's
I know. You
shockingly.
Always tell me that.
But anyways, what's amazing to me is think about that. Eureka and a lot of those shows film in Canada. But these are two stars that have been on shows that are big hits in America. They go film a 13-episode series that no one knows. I'm blown away by that they did this in secret, basically.
Yeah, it and.
But it, we don't know when it's going to come. But apparently, it's called.
Or
Primeval
if it'll even come here, which would be nice.
I'm sure it would because Primeval was here and it did pretty well. So Sci-Fi will pick it up if no one else. They're running Lost Girl right now, which was a Canadian series that made two seasons before Sci-Fi picked it up.
Yeah, with them the male lead on that show, who's I don't know what his story is, and I only know it from, you know, snippets that record attached to the shows I do watch.
Right.
But that guy looks exactly like the dude from Coldplay to me.
Oh yes, he does. He looks a lot like him.
And I'm like, is that the guy from Coldplay? Is that him? Like he's like acting now. But then I'm like, oh no, that's not him. So
we'll go ahead and wrap this up with Brandon's story that he put on here because I guess it's science fiction because we don't know what's going to come out of her.
Oh geez, yeah. Well, you know, and she's a dwarf.
A strange yeah. orange dwarf.
So. But... what's funny enough is a while back, I'm talking probably at the beginning of last month, my wife had said, did you hear that Snooki's pregnant? And I'm like, what? And they're like, yeah, you know, I she reads like everything. She's like, I read in something that there's rumors that Snooki's pregnant. And I'm like, oh, God. And I was like, well, it's only a matter of time. With the amount of people that she bangs,
oh, yeah.
It seems like her getting pregnant wasn't, you know, it's not like it's a, oh, my God, what? But
right.
then...
It's like all the Duggars announcing that they're pregnant.
Yeah, yeah. So then all of a sudden, we, you know, skip ahead a month, and all of a sudden it's like, yeah, yeah, Snooki's pregnant, Snooki's pregnant.
And engaged.
She was like, see, I told you. And engaged, yeah. And one part of it, I'm not surprised, because if you watch the show, it's like, well, of course she is. But on the other part of it, there had been rumors that, you know, she's not really this stupid person. She's actually pretty smart, and
right.
she poses as this person, you know, to kind of...
Which may still be
true.
To
make money.
She may have decided she was done and went this route.
Yeah.
What's interesting is she's got this TV show lined up for her and JWoww.
Yeah.
Which hasn't started filming yet, so
what
do they do with that?
It makes sense for those two to be going through motherhood together, and we get to see how they try to figure that out.
It's interesting because to me the same thing happened with the Kendra show, and this is going to be sad that I know all this, but it's my wife's fault.
Well, I will say this. The one decent human on the show, which was Vinny... I think his name. Like, he was actually not a bad guy.
Right.
He was leaving the show, and it's like, well, geez, what are they? They're going to fill it in with a worse person.
Right.
Because the you know, steroid guy and then the situation, those are horrible people.
Oh, yeah. Ronnie Roy Rage?
Yeah.
No, and with ratings have been on the decline for Jersey Shore, so I'm hoping
everyone loves a baby, so...
I'm hoping we're kind of done with it, and maybe... Maybe it might be interesting to see Snooki not be a cartoon character like this who's drunk all the time and see what she's like when she's just sober and being herself. Maybe she's cool. Maybe people will like her. And she'll look up to her as a mother. Who knows? Or maybe she'll get off the radar and just raise her child off of television. Is that possible?
Yeah, with all that money. So, who knows?
But that's all I got. You got anything else? Anything you're excited about coming up TV-wise?
Oh, I haven't got to watch it yet, but I'm excited about that Awake show. It looks kind of interesting.
Oh yeah, I just watched the first two.
I like Jason Isaacs a lot. I mean, that guy's a great actor.
Second episode actually ends with an interesting few lines that kind of make you start to rethink everything you've seen and possibly put it in a different context. So that was a good thing. So that's something. Yeah, definitely. If you watch it, tough it out through the first, and it's not bad. But you're watching the first episode, you watch the second episode. If you start to think, oh, it's just going to be like this every week, finish that second episode and then think about it. There might be more going on.
I know that there's like a heavy psychological input to it, and I know that that's possibly going to hurt it because people don't want to hear psychobabble necessarily.
Right, yeah, he's got two therapists, one in each reality.
And he even breaks it down very scientifically, I've heard. So
yeah.
So that might be hard for people to comprehend, but
they,
I don't see
they actually do a really good
a...
job. I don't know if you've there's different ways to film things and emphasize different coloring, and
yeah.
So they have kind of a red bleed on one reality and kind of a blue bleed on the other, which fits with wristbands he wears to keep his reality straight. But it's a subtle difference to where it's like I've seen shows that are more red like this, and I've seen shows that are more blue like this, but they do it in one show, and it makes it so easy. To tell where he's at. So they do a great job at that.
Does he get a full night's sleep?
No, because as soon as he falls asleep, he wakes up in the other reality. That's why both of his therapists believe the other one is him dreaming. It's a recurring dream. So he doesn't – I don't know if he's sleeping or not.
Yeah, see, because the switchover is awkward to me, and I'm not sure how he sleeps necessarily.
Who knows? Maybe he'll go crazy from lack of sleep. And that's where it's like the truth of the matter is this is only what we think is happening. We have no idea what's happening.
He's probably in a spaceship, and he's just –
No, it is not. No, you shut up. That was a horrible ending to a potentially good TV show, and I won't have you bring it up on this podcast.
It's all just mentally challenged kid with a snow globe.
There, that's better. that was actually a UK import, Life on Mars, which was good until they changed the ending because they felt they had to because everyone knew the original ending. And
but they kept the ending the same. Well, they changed it but kept it the same. The idea of him being asleep in one of them.
Right.
Yeah, you know.
In the original,
I mean,
it was a coma, which made sense. And in the new one, it was a
space
dream simulator thing on a space journey, which was like, oh, wow, no, I didn't like that at all. So, anyways, we're not going to end on a sour note. We're going to end on a positive note. So you're excited about Awake, and I say that's cool, and I'm excited to see if Touch has anything more to it than what I saw in the premiere.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. That's, you know, that's Jack Bauer, too.
It's Jack Bauer with a kid, so it's interesting. I saw him
already being angry and stuff.
Yeah, so it was like, awesome.
He's still being Jack Bauer.
But he also showed
angry,
a tender side.
Running around, chasing people.
Hey, Brandon, are you alert enough to do the thing with the thing and tell people where to find everything?
Yeah, you can find, follow, or stalk, as Jesse would say. You can – this podcast on 8daysgeek.com, obviously. You can also follow us on Twitter at 8daysgeek, and, you know, the podcast show up on there. You can follow me personally on Twitter. I'm at Brando Supreme. And you can become a fan of 8 Days Geek on Facebook. Just, you know, look up 8 Days Geek. We have a fan page on there.
It's worth doing.
And then you can email me. I'm Brandon at 8 Days Geek, and I can answer any questions about whatever. When it comes to TV, Jay's pretty much the expert. The only thing I get him on is probably animation and late night shows, like late night.
And an appreciation for a fight sequence.
Yeah, Jay's not big on the action sequences.
Is that it?
That is it.
You want to drop the phone number, or do you know it?
I don't have it handy, but I can reach. Very professional we are.
Oh, well, you can reach while I tell them that I'm at UltraVersion21 on Twitter, and you can find me there and follow me, and I'll be very friendly. And I think I have an email that might be jason@8daysageek, or 8dag.com, I think. I don't know.
I don't know if you're Jason or Jason J. Hughes.
I don't know. I don't remember. So email Brandon and ask him what my email address is if you need it. Otherwise, you can follow me on Twitter. You can find me at I almost said AOL TV, but I'm at HuffPost TV now, burning the midnight oil. And then you got that phone number?
Oh, yeah. It's 754-273-6397.
You can leave a voicemail for the show. You're going to want to, because I believe that is the 8 Days of Geek all-encompassing voicemail, so you're going to want to say this is for All the Rage TV, or this is for Brandon, did you see that fight scene, it was awesome, blah blah blah, or this is for Jason, what the hell, didn't you like that fight scene, blah blah blah, or however you want to
talk about, you know, if you want to say, oh, I saw a reality show that was based on talent and I found it interesting, I'll listen to you, but Jay will yell about it because he likes reality shows like Survivor.
I also like reality shows about talent,
but you hate Face Off.
Oh, well, that show's stupid. I watched an episode of it, and it was really boring.
See, I like it, but I'm really interested into that kind of stuff.
But I don't care about makeup, and I don't care about most of the dancing shows, and I don't care about – I don't know. It's weird, but I don't like the fashion shows. Those are dumb. I don't like the hair shows and the makeup shows. I don't get it. Doesn't make sense to me. But I love the weight loss shows and the Stick Me Out in the Jungle shows, The Amazing Race, and the singing shows and the dancing – well, one dancing show. That's it. But I didn't like Dance Your Ass Off because you shouldn't combine weight loss and dancing. It's not pretty.
No, not at all.
And on that note, this has been All the Rage TV Edition. Hey, Brandon, thank you for your time.
Thank you for your time.
We'll do this again next month, and you can find Brandon and I on – every week you can find one or the other of us on a podcast here at 8 Days of Geek, so look for those. And other than that, we will see you next month.